I struggled with this evening's message, just really seeking God, asking for a confirmation of which direction he wanted me to take. And I came to a conclusion that although we know that God wants to use us, and we know from the past programs or sessions how he created us and designed us for his purpose, and we now know and have a better understanding of how we in our own actions daily can end up separating ourselves from God. So now that we know all of this, I guess I want to just plead with you all for a little while this evening to be courageous. I think far too often in our Christian lives, we operate at a weak point. I don't really know what it is. I just think sometimes we just are naturally just weak. I think we have a disbelief of the power of God and what he wants to do in our lives. And I'll tell you why I say that, because, you know, we serve a big, awesome, powerful, magnificent, strong, like God that we can't even fathom. You know, we can't even fathom the power of God. And I just don't think we really understand what happens when we adopt that type of mentality, and when we really say, God, I want you to like operate fully in my life. Like, our faith level at times, I guess, is a bit weak. And it can be weak for a number of different reasons. I'm really not for sure. But I'm a firm believer that God specializes in working with the underdogs. I'm just crazy enough to believe that God at times will choose some of the smallest, some of the weakest, some of the youngest vessels to operate and do powerful things in their lives. I've heard of story after story and testimony after testimony of young, powerful people here in the U.S. and then overseas that are doing some amazing things in the name of Jesus. And so I just wonder why I don't see that more often. We had a good time today out in the river, the lake, the flow of water, the rafts, it was a really great time, and I saw the energy, I saw the drive of you all, I saw you all just in your element, just having a good time, and I was blessed, you know, by that fellowship. But when I got back to my room and I took a shower, I was just thinking, like, God, you know, what direction next? And so he clearly told me that we need to talk about being courageous, because we serve a courageous God, and we've heard it always, but I'm still wondering, why do we operate from this element of disbelief? So a lot of times when I travel and I speak, I can't help but, of course, reference to the Word of God, because I believe in this Word, I believe it's real. There are some analogies, some stories that were told in the Bible, but a lot of those things that took place, those were like actual people right here on planet Earth. And I think sometimes that we believe that since it was years and thousands and hundreds of years ago, or thousands of years ago, then it was so long ago that that same God cannot exist and operate in that same power today. And I know that that is a lie. And the only reason why God's power isn't manifested more often in our lives is because we have a lack of faith and a lack of disbelief. And so today, for a short while, I want to talk about the story of David, but not the typical story of David, like David and Goliath. Like, that's the story you're used to. But I want to just for a little while focus on the earlier days of David. All right, so let me just paraphrase what's going on here. In 1 Samuel, I believe it's like chapter 14, 15, and 16, God is telling King Saul specific things that he wants him to do. And King Saul is being disobedient. King Saul is being what? Come on, give me some energy. I'm super tired, right? King Saul is being what?
Disobedient.
There we go. Like, King Saul is doing what he wants to do because he thinks he's the king, right? So God's like, I want you to go here and kill everybody and destroy every single thing. Don't leave nothing living. Well, King Saul says, well, I'm going to go and kill everybody except for their king, and I'm going to keep all the cattle and the sheep. Like, he's doing silly stuff, right? So God says, you know what? I'm going to take my anointing from King Saul. So he goes to his servant Samuel and says, Samuel, I'm taking my anointing from King Saul. And Samuel and Saul were tight. They were close. And so he's like, oh, man. And the Bible says that God says, look, how long are you going to mourn over this? He was disobedient. He's no longer fit to have my anointing. I want you to go to this town. I need you to find Jesse, and I need you to interview his sons, and I'm going to find his next anointing. One of my next anointings are going to be one of Jesse's sons. So Samuel does what God tells him to do, and he gets to this town, and he shows up, and he says, look, I'm looking for Jesse. Jesse said, that's me. He said, hey, let's break bread. We're going to eat. We're going to fellowship, and God is going to anoint one of your sons. And so he has an interview process. I mean, you know the story. And so I think it's something so critical, and when I read it oftentimes, I really get encouraged because it just reminds me how amazing God is. Like, God isn't, he's not into that favoritism stuff, right? So Samuel goes, and he says, okay, so bring me all of your sons. And so Jesse brings, he's got 8 sons, but he brings 7 of them out, right? And so when he sees the oldest son, he figured this is the son. Because he's tall in stature, he's handsome, he's the tallest, he's the eldest son. He figures this is the one. He says, surely this is the one. Look at what the Lord said. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things as people does. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the inside. Isn't that amazing? God said, listen, Samuel, I know he seems tall. I know he's got those degrees. I know he's got it all together, and he looks like he's the perfect fit, but I've rejected him. What's so deep about this is he said that God says, I've rejected him. Not just I'm not going to choose him. He said, I've rejected him. It kind of makes you wonder what the eldest son Eliab was going through, right? It kind of makes you wonder, why would God reject him? God didn't just say, I'm not choosing him. He said, I've rejected him. Don't look at his height. Don't look at his stature. Man looks at the outer appearance, but I, God, look at the inside. And so when I read that, I'm super encouraged because I'm like, man, on the outside, I could be so rough, but God knows my heart. He knows what I'm trying to do. He knows deep down inside what he can do in my life. And so I find that so, so very encouraging. And so Jesse goes and brings his sons out back to back to back, and Samuel is looking, and he's like, okay, God, no. All right, next. Okay, he's looking at him, and he's like, all right, he's probably asking questions, and God's like, nope. He's like, next. He goes to 7 sons. He's like, Jesse, are these all of your sons? Jesse says, yeah, but, well, I got one more son. I mean, he's my youngest, little David. He's like 17. He takes care of the sheep. But, I mean, these guys, are you sure none of these guys? They're the eldest ones. They're the big guys. Like, they handle business. They're in the army. They fight for King Saul. Samuel said, I want to see all of your sons. We're not going to eat. We're not going to do anything until you go and get him. So when I read this, when I first read it, I read it several times. But when I've been reading it here lately, it kind of in a way hurt my feelings because I was that guy. I was the person counted out, right? I'm like, man, this is your father. This is your father, someone, the prophet of God said to bring me all of your sons, and he got counted out by his father. Like, what mentally? Now, I want you to look at your life now, right? Because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you're inadequate. You've got issues. You've got situations in your life. You feel like God don't want to use me. That is a lie from the devil. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Samuel says, I want to see all of your sons. And Jesse, for whatever reason, just doesn't even count David out. One would even say, I'm not even counting him as my son. Like, he's a boy. You're not going to use him. But here are my older ones. You know how it feels to be counted out? Do you know how it feels to be looked past? To not to get picked up, to say, oh, he's scrawny. Oh, he's not going to do it. Do you know that doesn't feel good? And David, we know how amazing David was, right? How much God loved David. Even David was counted out. So Jesse goes and gets David, and the Bible says that when David came, Samuel knew then from God that that was the one to get the anointing, and he anointed him right there in front of his brothers. Now, as far as the anointing part, being called, being anointed and appointed, that right there just blows my mind. So now you know, I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what you're dealing with. Let me tell you something. If God has called you to do something, and we already know from the past sessions, God has called each and every one of us, we have an obligation. But once we step up and we handle that anointing, let me tell you something. There's some power that comes with that. Now we're about to talk about being courageous. There is some power that comes with having the anointing of God. We can't walk around here and say we have the anointing, but be scared about stuff. There's no, fear should not, the Bible says, God says very clearly, don't fear the one that can kill the body. Fear the one that can kill the body and the soul. We need to have a certain fear, a certain level of respect for God. But besides that, we are to fear nothing else. Fear is the opposite of faith. And the Bible says it very clearly that without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Matter of fact, he even says that I haven't given you the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear? You ever wonder why God said I haven't given you the spirit of fear? He didn't say the emotion of fear. He didn't say I haven't given you the feeling of fear. He said, no, I have not given you the spirit of fear. This is a spiritual battle we're dealing with here. And David recognized that early. So when he got the anointing, there was a certain level of common sense. So he knew when a battle was coming. He knew the battle wasn't his. The battle was God's. He had a sense of courageousness. He knew that he was anointed. Something different was happening in his life. And so now it's so amazing because when you fast forward to chapter 17, we know the story. Goliath and the Philistines, they come. They set up camp. And for 40 days, they're torturing the Israelites. They're talking all sorts of stuff. We're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. You know, they're talking about their God. Is anybody going to come fight me? And basically, Goliath said, listen, I'm for the Philistines. You bring me one guy out your camp. We'll fight, and if I win, y'all will be my slaves. If y'all win or your person kills me, then we'll be your slaves. Like, it was clear, and they were scared. Fear beset the whole camp. King Saul tucked his tail. Do you see now why God took the anointing from him? He said, you're operating off of your own power. I don't operate like that. And so it's so amazing. So we know the story. So David's dad, Jesse, says, hey, I want you to go take this barley, take this bread. I want you to go to the camp, to the army and drop this food off to your brothers, right? So David gets there. He sees Goliath talking all this stuff. And he says, hey, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking about our God? David never even took it personal if you read the story. He's like, who is this talking with our God? His brothers get mad. What are you here for? You're always here. You're conceited, blah, blah, blah. David's like, can I even talk? David's like, look, who's going to fight this guy? And so basically, the word gets back to King Saul that David's willing to stand up. Let me show you what happens here. Now, this is what blows my mind. All right, so this is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32 says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant David will go and fight him. Now, David at the time was like 17 years old. He's a young boy. Anybody 17 years old or younger in here, just raise your hand real quick. Come on, raise it high, raise it high, raise it high. Raise it high, that means like put it above your head. There you go, they're scared. They think I'm about to tell them to come go fight Goliath. All right, good. So half of you in here, it's like the same age David is. He's like, okay, look, hey, I'll go and fight this guy. Look at what Saul said, operating outside of the Spirit of God. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. So Saul, once again, he's operating in the flesh. Well, you can't do it. Now, he's not even thinking like what God can do through this young man. He's just saying, hey, you know, you can't do it. He's been a warrior since a youth. You're only a youth. Let me tell you what David said, and this is the moral of my story here. But David said to Paul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, rescued the sheep from his mouth. When it returned to me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And I will do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine. So I'm like, whoa, are you kidding me? All right, so let's recap, because you did like I did when I first read this. I read it, I said, oh, man, okay, wow. So he could, let's rewind here, all right? So you've got David, just a boy with the anointing of God. He's in the village, and he's keeping the sheep. You know, David was a psalmist. He's playing his harp, you know. People were, oh, David, he's just playing his harp, keeping the sheep. Then a lion comes. A lion, not a pit bull. Let me tell you something. If a pit bull came, that would be my testimony. Let me tell you what my testimony would be. I would come to church on Wednesday night after a pit bull would come and take the sheep, and I would be at church saying, I just praise the Lord that a pit bull came and took a sheep, but I have the 99, and the Lord kept me safe. Like, that's, I'm just going to tell you, like, if a big German shepherd or a Rottweiler came, I just don't know, unless God said to kill him, I would probably, my testimony would be, he only took one sheep, right? He didn't take them all. He only took one. I praise the Lord. He could have took more. Like, that's what would be my testimony. But what David took his responsibility serious. You see, the Bible says that if you're faithful with a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Follow me here. We're talking about being courageous. We're talking about having the anointing. We're talking about fearing nothing but the power of God. And so the lion comes and takes a sheep. And what my Bible says, we've got different versions. Hey, it all says the same thing. It said that David went after, that's so crazy, right? He went after a lion and took the sheep back. And if a lion rose up against him, he would, this is so retarded. He would grab the lion by his hair and strike him and kill him. We're talking about a 17-year-old boy. Are you 17-year-olds or younger? Raise your hand again. Yeah, okay, through the power of God, you can kill a lion. That's crazy, right? So then the Bible says, this is what David says, I did that both to a lion and a bear. So now here comes the bear, right? The bear says, ha, 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 the lion, he's not going to rise up against me, I'm a grizzly. So the lion, a bear comes, roar, he takes a sheep, and he's like, huh, and he walks off, and David's like, my father told me to keep the sheep. All right, I got to keep, like, this next, that's next level, like, commitment. He's like, oh, you're telling me? All right. So David, that lived here on planet Earth, not a figure. This is not a parable. He lived here. He went after a bear, right? This guy would be like queso dip to this bear, right? Like an appetizer. He goes after the bear, and the same thing, when the bear rises up, he smites him, and he kills him. David said that I've done this to both lions and bears. Let's just go somewhere real quick. All right, and so now I'm talking to somebody in here, probably an adult too. I feel like I'm about to talk to an adult. There's a lot of symbolism here, because when the lion and the bear came, if David did what we typically would do, David, if he just took a lion and a bear and he was like, oh, at least I'm safe, we got the other sheep, you know what would happen? It's that lion or that bear would do what it wants to do with the sheep and would know that whenever it wants to eat, so now it's coming back. Now it's taking advantage of the situation. Now it's taking all the sheep it wants. Somebody in here, the enemy has been wreaking havoc in your life. He is beating you up. He is kicking you. He is stomping you. And you are being very, very weak in your attacks back. You're trying to fight this thing on your own, as opposed to having the anointing, the connection with God, and you're letting him come to take whatever he wants. And then you're just glad that you're barely surviving, but that is not God's will for you to barely survive. God wants you to thrive. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be a lender, not a borrower. He don't want you just barely getting by. That's not God's will. But what we do is we sit back because we're lukewarm. We're just happy that things are just okay. And we let lions and bears come and ravage us in our lives. But you know what happened with David? Is David killed the threat. David said, I'm about to destroy the threat. The very thing that's wreaking havoc in my family in the camp, the very thing that's attacking what I'm supposed to be protecting, it's wreaking havoc. And so I'm going to destroy the threat through the power of God. That's next level right there. That takes a certain level of commitment to say, you know what? You are not going to beat up on me. You are not going to just take them sheep. You are not going to just wreak havoc in my life. I am going to fight back. And there's power when we can get to a point where we can destroy the threats in our lives. And that's exactly what David did. It blows my mind. Like, when I read this as I was younger, I just skipped right over the fact that he told Saul, King Saul, I've killed lions and bears, and I'll kill this Philistine. We go right to the story where he grabs the five smooth stones, and he does his ninja thing, and he flings, and then he kills Goliath right here, and he cuts his head off, which is so gangster, I think. I'm just like, wow, you cut his head off, like, for real, come on, come on. I believe, for real, he probably had a glow. Like, that's an anointing right there. You don't just kill this man, but you now cut his head off. He was in a trance. He was in a zone from the power of God. He was making it known to the Philistines, you don't talk about my God. You don't attack my God's people. This is the only wise God. It's time for us to start acting the same way. I'm sorry. I get a little excited. It's time for you and I to start acting the same way. No more being afraid when we're in our schools to witness. No more being afraid in our homes. I want to see some young people that can have your parents arguing and upset, and you got the power of God when you can go and heal the wounds in your household. When you can go to your mom and say, Mom, can I pray for you? Do you think your parents don't need prayer? But as young people, we're so self-centered. Everything has to revolve around us. Some of us in here literally have moms and dads that are crying and praying for us daily, and we can care less as long as we get to do what we want to do. That's not the spirit of God. It's time for us to be courageous. That thing was a scary time for David. But David said, I will not have any fear. God has given me the anointing. God has called me. God has appointed me for this time right now. I will fight whatever God puts in front of me. I will fight, because David had common sense that it was not him fighting this battle. It wasn't David. David's like, listen, it's no way. We all know it's no way a 17-year-old boy can kill a lion or a bear. But through the power of God, that's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We better start believing that. You know what the problem is we allow the enemy to take our power. Let me ask you a question. If the Bible says that God has all power, how much power does the devil have? Come on, y'all, let's be honest, because he's kicking some of y'all's butt. How much power does if God has all power, how much power does the devil have? I'm going to ask you again, because, I mean, he's really wreaking havoc in some of your lives, and you spend the day complaining and really going through it. He's got some power. How much power does the devil have? Only the power you give him. He really has no power, right? He has none. That's why he's called the Prince of Darkness. Let me tell you something. Whenever the Bible refers or references to a prince, that means he's restricted to what he can do, because the king has all power and all authority. Isn't that amazing? You're the Prince of Darkness. God's like, ooh, Prince of Darkness, yep. But when I come into the scene, I bring lights. You have no authority in the lives of my children. But what happens is the Bible also says that we have power of the tongue. And what we do is we do what Eve did. Eve fell victim to his deceit, to his deception. So he said, thou shalt not surely die. She began to believe it. So then people come, the enemy comes and says, God doesn't really want to use you. And we tuck our tails. God says, they're going to think you weird if you say something and we don't say anything. And we give our power over to God. God's not going to hear and answer your prayer. God's not going to heal your heart. You know, this thing isn't real. And we hear it and we believe that foolishness and we give the enemy our powers. And then we cry and we're depressed and we have anxiety. And that is not the power. That is not God's will. That is not the spirit of God. It is time for you and I to live courageously every single day. We are his chosen people, a chosen generation. We are going to finish his work. You're the young people of the Remnant Church. There is so much power in this room. If we completely submit to God and believe in what his word says, and if David, a young boy, can kill a lion and a bear, and then make it official to everyone and kill the Philistine giant Goliath through the power of God, what will he do through your life? So you got to ask yourself now, what giants do you have in your life? What lions do you have in your life? What bears do you have in your life? What's restricting you? What's stopping you from moving forward with God? Is it a spouse? Is it a loved one? Is it a disbelief? Is it some friends that you know you shouldn't be with? What is it? Is somebody picking on you? Is there a family member putting you down? Is somebody physically abusing you? Like, what is it that you're dealing with that's stopping you from moving forward? Where are the Goliaths at, you know, that's in your life? The lions, the bears. It's time that we find it. It's time that we attack it. And it's time that we destroy it through the power of God. The enemy will only do what you allow him to do. And he can only do what God allows him to do. Oh, he's going to attack you. Oh, he's going to try to discourage you. I mean, that's his job. At some point, when do we get to the point where we say, hey, I believe in God's word. I believe that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Like, when do we really start believing that? When we say, I'm at peace with things. Like, life is fun. I get it. Everything is great. Hunky-dory. We have a good time. But let me tell you something. When you leave camp meeting, it's going to be a spiritual battle. Wait, some of you are dealing with a spiritual battle right now. There are some relationships going on in this room right now, some things taking place that God is not happy with. How much longer are you going to let him be your God? I'm talking about that guy. Because he's your God. If you put him before God, then you're making him your God. He's your idol. If you put, and you know who I'm talking to, sister, my young sister in here, you know who I'm talking to. To the young guy here, you think you're cool. Let me tell you something. You keep letting the devil use you if you want to. God has a plan for us all. And we've got to get to a point where we say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Get to a point where we die of self. Take a seat, young man, because that's being distracting. Follow me here. We've got to get to a point where we say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. There was work to be done. And I'm tired of going to campground after campground and church after church, city and country after country, and the people are just so weak and just getting beat up. There is power. And we've got to learn to tap into that power. This is not a game. And so I look at, because I believe in God's word, like, I believe in his word. And if David can do that, what's the difference between me and David? It's my faith factor. My faith is weak. My faith is challenged. I'm still asking God for signs when he's clearly told me to do what he wants me to do. It's time for us to start living lives. You know what the problem is? Is we try to have, and I'm about to close, I promise. We try to have, it's good that we make God sometimes our number one option, but I believe like God should be our only option. I mean, seriously, like God should be our only option. And God convicted me of this. Can I be honest with y'all? It was right when my daughter was born. I was having worship early one morning, and God told me, he said, son, because I was working for a technology school and still preaching on the weekends. Like, every weekend I'm traveling, but I still had a kind of a side job, so I wasn't devoting everything into the ministry. And God said, son, this company you're working for has been your God. I'm like, no way, Lord. I'm a light at that company. I'm giving away books. I'm ministering to people. I'm helping young people get in school. He said, son, I told you to quit your job and work for me full-time over a year ago. And he did. I talked to one of my mentors, one of my best friends, and I said, man, I feel like God's telling me to work for him full time. And he said, well, you got to take that jump. I said, well, I'm waiting for them to fire me. He said, no. For real, I was just hoping they would just fire me. Then I was like, okay, God, I guess I work for you. He said, no, you want God to take it from you, but some things you have to give to God. And God told me plain as day, y'all, modern David, he said, son, that right there, that's been your God. And he challenged me. He said, son, you really want to operate within my power? Do you really want to see what I have in store for you? Quit this job and work for me full time. So, I mean, I'm talking about me and my wife together combined, because she was working for the government. We were making some nice money. We weren't missing any meals and was really blessed, right? God said, let it go and depend on me completely. I was like, God, like, that hurt, y'all. I'm going to be honest with you, right? I drive a big truck. That thing takes like $110 worth of gas. And it lasts me like every 3-4 days. I'm like, Lord, there's no way I can do it. He's up. See, you have your faith in that company as opposed to having me be your only option. So I felt convicted. I heard God loud. It hurt. It hurt like my pocket and my stomach, right? And I said, you know what? I'm going to let the job go. And so this is what I did. I woke up. That morning when my wife woke up, I got a little common sense. I wouldn't have worship with my wife before because we have worship every morning, right? So I'll make her oatmeal or I'll make her tea. Then we have worship. And so God said, don't hit her with this right away. Have worship with her first. Get her in the spirit and then share with her the revelation I've given you. So we have worship. I'm making her oatmeal with her craisins and her walnuts, and she's happy, and we're reading, and we're praying. And I said, boo, can I share with you what God told me in my devotion? She's like, yeah, honey. I said, God told me that I should quit my job and work for him full time. My heart's like beating super fast even right now, right? And she's like, God told you what? I'm like, she's like, we're already work for God. And we give like a lot of money to the church and we be feeding families. I'm like, I know, honey, but God is telling us that he wants us to solely depend on him. So she was like, all right, well, I'll wait till he tells me that. So I was like, oh, man. I'm like, oh, my goodness, right? And so the Lord was like, just be still and pray about it. And the next day or two, she was receptive to it. But then she came back and was like, well, God told me to quit my job, too. She said, you ain't going to be traveling the world ministering, and I have to go to work every day. I'm quitting, too. I'm going to manage your career. We're going to take this ministry to the next level. I said, praise God. Really, that's how the conversation went. So now, and I'm going to be honest with you, a part of me had a cushion because I said, well, if I'm doing the ministry full time, my wife's salary will definitely cover the mortgage and the major stuff, and the money I make from the churches will pick up the flack. But now that she's like, you know what? I'm jumping all the way in. If we're going to fully commit on God, we're going to fully commit on God. I'm like, oh, boy. Then the next day, God told me something else in my early morning worship. He said, son, because he knows, I guess one of my struggles has been dependent on money and financial gain. And so he said, I know where your heart is with the money. I know you love to give it, but you'd like to keep that reserve. And so he said, I'm going to challenge you to something, son, to test your faith. We're talking about being courageous now. God said, son, I want you to give me double in tithe and offering. So I'm like, God, you tell me if somebody buys a $10 book, I got to give you $3. He said, see, that's your problem. You got that, your attitude, the spirit. I'm being honest with y'all. The spirit, you got to give me $3 as opposed to a cheerful tithe and offering. I said, wow. He said, son, I don't need your money. I'm trying to do this for you. This is your character. This is your soul salvation. Isn't this crazy? So I said, okay, God, so you want me to quit my job and just everything we have secure. We got a newborn baby that's a month old. He said, that's right, the baby that I've designed and created for you. Do you think she's not going to have diapers? Do you think she's not going to eat? I'm going to take care of her. Let me manifest my power in your life. Let me show you what I can do if you commit 100%. We want to commit 85% and then have 15% in the world. God's like, no, Peter didn't do that. You didn't see Peter jump out the water in the boat. And I'm telling you, the Bible would have depicted. You didn't see Peter do like this. And they say, okay, you're solid. All right, cool. No, Peter jumped out the boat and said, okay, God, I'm walking with you. And if I drown, I drown. Why? Because God called him to. God chose David. He said, you're going to be the next one to have my anointing. God told Peter to get out the boat and walk on water. God's choosing you. And since he's choosing us, since he's given us the power and the authority, now we can actually do what he's called us to do. But we have to get out the boat. So God says, son, quit your jobs. Quit those careers. Cold turkey. No insurance. No health care. And I'm not dumb because Ellen White talks a lot about, you know, being good stewards of your money and taking care of your family. So I said, well, that means since I don't have health care through a company, I have to now buy separate health care, which is going to add for me and my family another $700 per month. I'm like, God, how are we going to do this? He said, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. We're talking about being courageous here. And so after we took that plunge, and now we give anything that comes our way 30%, even if it's an income tax, that's like any money we get, I'm giving 30% back to God cheerfully, and he's been blowing my mind. Oh, we lack for nothing. He's been blowing my mind. So what am I telling you this morning? I don't know what it is you're dealing with. I don't know where you're at in your personal walk with God, but you got to turn your belief system up. Throw that doubt out the window. It's time to start jumping out the boat. It's time to start killing them lions, them bears, some things that's restricting you from growing with God. It's time to start doing this stuff now. I don't care if you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. You ain't got to be 25, 30 to be serious with God. You better be serious right now. You can't wait till you're an adult. That's too late. That's years and years of you wasting your life. That's right, wasting your life. Some of you in this room are only existing. There's a difference between living and having life and existing. A rock just exists, but it has no life. But when you fulfill your purpose in life, when you worship the one who gives you life, that's when you're truly living. The Word of God says that he inhabits the praise of his people, the worship, the communion, the fellowship. That's a beautiful thing. And if you and I can get to the point where we turn up our belief system, when we start asking ourselves, the people we're dating, the people we hang out with, what I'm doing in my life, my activity or inactivity in church, does it please God? It's time to start making this thing plain and choosing to serve God, choosing to go 100% with Him. God did not make robots. You and I have a choice. God is like, listen, you can be courageous like David, like Peter, like Jeremy, like my other servants, or you can be feeble, you can be scary, you can just barely get by. You can be fragile or you can be strong. The choice is yours. So these are some things that I want you to be thinking about tonight, even as we leave. When you go back to your room, maybe you stay for United Prayer, which was amazing last night. So I urge all of you to stay for that, but ask yourself that. How come you're not courageous? What is it that you're fearing? I don't care about your situation. God specializes in working with that. He specializes in working with the underdogs. Do you see what He did with the disciples? Fishermen, gangsters, thieves, tax collectors, crooks. He said, look, come and follow me. He could have went and found a scholar. He could have went and found a Sadducee or a Pharisee or one of the scribes or priests. He could have found them and made disciples. He said, nope, I'm going to find regular people that's broken, and through service and through following me, I'm going to make them whole. And before He left, He told His disciples something so amazing. He said, listen, you're going to do even greater things than I've done. Do you know that Peter and the disciples, their shadow was healing people? Do you know that a handkerchief, people wanted to come and just touch the handkerchief. Their snot rag. People were like, look, let me just touch your tissue because I know that I can be whole. That's power right there. My snot's not healing nobody. All right. We got a long way to go, folks. We got a long way to go. But I'm telling you, we will get there when we take God at His word, when we challenge Him. That's what me and my wife have been in a position to do. We was talking earlier today in the hotel room. She was like, honey, you know, I don't know. It wasn't the mortgage. She was like two, three bills she was throwing out. And I was just like, Lord, I don't want to just like be rude. But I really wanted to tell her, I want to hear all that. You know, that whole, honey, you know, we got to pay this, we got to pay that. We haven't been late on the bill since, honey. So please don't come to me with the, where's your faith, right? Where's your faith? So I said, boo, it's going to work out. I just had to keep a cheerful spirit. She's like, yeah, I know. I was like, all right, well, act like it, right? No, I definitely didn't say that. But really, it's time for us to be bold. It's time for us to be powerful. It's time for us to be courageous. Father in heaven, God, help your young people and the adults, everyone here, God, to truly, really believe, Lord, in your power, God. Father, they gauge what they can do through you by what they can do themselves, Lord. Help them, Lord, to recognize that they can do no good thing without you. But please, God, increase the belief system in all of us, Lord, that if you give us the power to do something, God, then we can do it, Lord. It's time for us to be walking around here doing miracles, God. It's time for us to be able to start healing people, Lord. But you are not going to give us that type of power, Lord, until we can contain it, Lord. Where some of us still don't even believe in you, Lord. This whole church thing is a joke, God. Forgive us, Lord. We don't want to be weak anymore, God. Father, we want to be strong. We want to be courageous. We want to be powerful, Lord. We want to be able to be like Peter and step outside the boat, Lord, and walk on water. Whatever the water is in our life, Lord, we want to be able to slay the lions and the bears, Lord, and the Goliaths that are plaguing our lives, Lord. We want to be able to destroy the threat so that that no more longer impacts our lives, God. We want to be strong through you. We've been weak on our own for far too long, Lord. Help your young people, Lord, to recognize that they can claim that power right now, Lord. Show us, God, how to pray to you seriously. Show us, Lord, how to connect with you, God. Show us how to sacrifice, God. Show us how to be disciplined like David was. David was disciplined to go after a lion and a bear, Lord. He took his job seriously, Lord. Show us, our God and our King, how to be faithful with a few things so that you will make us ruler over many. We need you, God. We need you. We need you. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Continue to speak to us. Continue to challenge us. Continue to love us. Continue to convict us so that we can become the soldiers, God, that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.